Amen. You may be seated. Wow, just a powerful time of worship together. And as we think of the whole matter of worship, of course, an integral part of worship is a matter of thanksgiving. We give God the praise and the glory for all that He has done for us. And I tell you, I love Thanksgiving. I love the season of the year. I've said before, I'll say it again, it's one of those holidays that the world can't take away from us. Now, they're trying. I mean, you know, they take Christmas away with Santa Claus and all that, and Easter with the Easter Bunny. And they've tried to do it with a turkey, but it just isn't the same, is it? And so, you know, they call it Turkey Day and everything. But the thing I appreciate about Thanksgiving is, as believers, we know to whom we are to be thankful. Amen? And we give God the praise for all that we have. As I think of the matter of Thanksgiving here this morning, I was preparing. I was thinking about the matter of faith, and we've been talking about faith over the last couple weeks here. We looked at establishing faith, where we defined and we established the essence of faith. We looked at the matter of great faith in Matthew chapter 8. Then we also looked at Matthew 8 at the end of the chapter, and we talked about the exercise of faith, contrasting great faith with little faith. Now today, I would like to look at an evidence of faith, which is the whole matter of thanksgiving. So take your Bibles, if you would, or you can go to the event on YouVersion, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 11 to 19 for just a moment. Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19, and it's speaking of Jesus, and Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. Now remember, leprosy was a communicable disease, and they were to stand at a distance. They were not allowed to mingle in with the populace. They had to stand at a distance, and they had to holler, "Unclean, unclean," so the people would not come around them because they were contagious. They stood at a distance, verse 13, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests," which that was what they were to do if they were to be declared clean. If they thought that they were cured or were clean, the disease had run its course or whatever, they would go show themselves to the priests, and the priests were the ones who would declare them clean or unclean. "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. The healing power of Jesus. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. How many of them were there? 10. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Isn't that something? A couple weeks ago when we looked at the great faith of the centurion, it was pointed out that the centurion was a Gentile and hadn't seen such great faith in Israel. And here again you see someone who was not a full-blooded Jew, a Samaritan, who returns with thanksgiving as an expression of his faith. And Jesus asks, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Isn't that awesome? And an expression or an evidence of his faith was the matter of thanksgiving. When he realized all that God had done for him by healing him, his faith was expressed through thank you. Thank you. Where were the other 9? May we be the one who comes before our great God with an attitude of gratitude, an evidence of our faith expressed through thanksgiving. We have so much for which to be thankful. So I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 95. As I was thinking about this Sunday, I thought, wow, when you think about all that God has done for us, as I was thinking about all that God had done for me, my heart was drawn to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, We're going to look at this passage here. It says in verse 1, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord." You know, think about that. When it comes to our singing, we call it worship. I'll tell you what, the singing is not, we don't have just a worship time and then the message, okay? It's all worship. You should be worshiping God in your hearts even right here and now as the ministry of the Word goes forth. But it's all worship. But an appropriate expression of our worship is the song. And if you think about that, an expression of thanks and praise to God through singing, it needs to affect your whole being. We worship God with everything in us. And so I just encourage you, as you think about your worship and even in your hearts of the Lord, to think about the come. Let us sing for joy. Let the joy of the Lord show on your face. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. When's the last time you just shouted because of your great God and what He's done for you? And the fact of the matter is, He's the rock of your salvation if you have, in fact, trusted Him for your eternal salvation. He is a loving God who sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. God so loved the world, and you can put your name in there, He so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross, that if you would believe that He did that for you, you will not perish. You will not spend eternity separated from God, but you will have everlasting life. And if you have done that, you have so much for which to be grateful. And if nothing else, your salvation. You're going to live for eternity with God in heaven. I mean, wow. And so, you know, shout aloud to the God of our salvation. Let us come. Verse 2. Come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Again, our salvation, if there's nothing else, you can come before Him with jubilant praise. And it ought to have an effect on our lives, not just when we come to church. Oh, this is great. We had a great time of worship as we attended together. Yes, we do. And I encourage you to have that mindset as you worship. And again, through that, the attitude of thankfulness. And it should affect you, but not just while you're here, but when you go from here, that others would see the joy of the Lord and say, man, how do you do it? How is that possible? Well, because I know God is my Savior. I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He helps me as I go through this life. He helps me in the trials, the difficulties, the challenges, as well as the good times, because I have so much for which to be thankful. And then verses 3 to 5, he says, "For the Lord is the great God." And you have the idea of for or because. The Lord is the great God, the great King above all little g gods. There are no other gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. I love the outdoors. I love the creation of God. And the fact of the matter is, He created this world in 6 literal 24-hour days. No question about it. As He tells us here in His Word. He is the Creator. And because He is the Creator, we are accountable to Him. And so we ought to praise Him. When I was in Alaska, the beauty of God's creation. I'm not taking away anything from around here. I'm just saying, man, when I was in Alaska, it was like, wow. You know, the vistas. In fact, if you ask me, I'll show you. My favorite picture of Alaska was this just beautiful, gorgeous picture of the mountains in the background and the trees. And I was standing there right in the middle of it all. It's like, oh, it's awesome. You know, you've been at the sea, as the text here talks about, being at the sea and just watching the waves just crash on the shore and seeing the sunset off in the distance. It's just, and you know, if you heard me preach much, you've heard me talk about the beauty of sunsets and sunrises and sunsets. I just love it. I'm colorblind, but I love the colors of the sunrises and sunsets. It's like they're probably different colors than what you see, but I just love it. A few weeks ago, you heard me mention about being with Pastor Nate and just that full moon rising over the trees. I mean, I was just like, I had my little phone camera just taking all kinds of pictures. And, you know, it just doesn't capture it, right? Just doesn't capture it. But, you know, think of the creation of the Lord. Just last week, Teresa and I were watching the Science Channel. Actually, I walked in the room and she was watching it. That kind of surprised me that she had that interest. But she was watching and they were talking about a probe that had been launched to Saturn. Did you know we had a probe that was orbiting Saturn? It was a 20-year project. It took 4 years for this probe to get there. 4 years to get there. And they slingshotted it, around Venus and Mercury and Earth and, you know, out there, you know, warp drive or whatever, you know. And then it orbited Saturn. And the pictures for 16 more years. I'm talking about a 20-year project. 16 more years sending back the beauty, the awesomeness of a planet in our solar system that God created. I mean, showed pictures of the rings and all of that, you know, and then it went inside the rings, and then it was taking pictures from inside the rings out, and you guys are looking at me like, big deal. I thought it was great. It was awesome. And then after 16 years, they descended into the atmosphere and burned up. It's all God's creation. And it is awesome. And he says here that it is all his. And he formed it all. Look at verse 6 and 7. He says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For, again, or because he is our God. This God who is creator of all of this and the creator of our being. We are, listen to this, he's the God of everything. But we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Now, you talk about humbling to think the God of all creation cares about you and me. And as I got to thinking about our service here today, I got to thinking about, man, we have some awesome examples and awesome testimonies of folks in our congregation who have experienced, as we all have in some way or another, right? But I've asked several to come and give testimony as to God's great work in their lives and a testimony of thanksgiving for God's work. And so the first individual I'd like to have come up here is Marie McGilvery. So Marie, if you'll come on up. Marie experienced a situation just a few short weeks ago. And when I heard about that and how the Lord worked, I said, Marie, would you be willing to give a testimony? By the way, none of them were hesitant. And they all were willing to come and give testimony. All right. Thank you.
October 17th started out for me like any other day. Floyd had already left to go to town and do the things he needed that day. So I packed my sewing machine into the trunk of my car and was headed for the church to sew on a special project with some of the ladies here. We live on Peterson Road, and ordinarily when we would leave to go to town, we'd make a right-hand turn out of our driveway. But the county had been working on our road for several weeks, and so at different times parts of the road was closed off. So this particular day, I had to turn left out of our driveway and go around the block to get to Deweese Road. That added a few more minutes to my travel time, but that was okay because I had allowed for that. As I was going south on Deweese Road, there was another driver headed west on Polecat. This was a 96-year-old gentleman, and he ran the stop sign. I knew he was going to do it. I could see it was going to happen. So I swerved to the right in order to try and avoid the collision, which was not successful. There was a utility pole in that area that I could have hit. But instead, when I swerved, I was told I took out a stop sign on Polkett Road, and it's embedded underneath the car, which we had only had for about 20 days, and it was totaled. My injuries were a deep crack in my kneecap, and I had a fracture in my wrist, a gash on my hand, and I had a bruised heart from where the airbag hit me. So I was transported to Upper Valley Hospital along with the driver of the other car. The same day, we were both transferred to Miami Valley Hospital in Dayton because that's a trauma center. I was in there a couple days, and when I got home, I wrote a note to the driver of the other car. His car was also totaled. He had ended up with a broken sternum. And I wrote him a note to let him know that we had no hard feelings with him, you know, over this accident. I let him know that I was thankful to God that both of us were still here, that our injuries weren't more severe than what they were. I let him know that we were asking God for his healing and a speedy recovery. And I let him know that we thanked God that we had survived that accident. A few nights later, his granddaughter shows up on our doorstep, and she brought a gift basket in with a card where several members of the family had each written a message. She was devastated when she learned the injuries that I had, but she told me that the car that her grandfather was driving was hers at one time. She had just given it to her grandfather, and she gave it to him because of the safety features in it. That's also why we had bought another car, is because of the safety features that were in it. Every airbag in my car had deployed. When I was at Miami Valley Hospital, they had to take a CT scan of my head and my chest, trying to get my upper back. During the course of that, one of the things that I found out was I have a nodule on my thyroid, and I have a large mass on my spine. It's called a meningioma, which I had had one probably about 30 years ago. I really don't know what the outcome of all these medical things is going to be for me, but that's really okay. It was God who protected us that day, the other driver as well as myself. When the accident happened, the first person I wanted to call was my own husband. I didn't care about the ambulance. I wanted him there. And he was there within just a few minutes, so I was thankful for that. Pastor Doug was at the hospital. Don Wasik was there. They were great support for me. And I'm just very grateful for God's hand in all of this and how he worked everything out. And as I said, I don't know what the future holds for me with these things that are going on now, but it's okay because I know who holds the future. And as I was going through this accident, as I told him in the early service today, I was thinking about the verse where it says in Scripture we're to be thankful in all things. And then my very next thought was, what's there to be thankful for in this? But I learned. And I just thank God for that. I thank God for the growth. I thank God for the prayers that have gone up on our behalf. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Very good. Well, I'll tell you, you know, what a blessing to know that Marie, as a child of God, is in our shepherd's care. And he watches over us. We are his flock. We are the people under his care. And so thank you for that. Just to know that even in the challenges, the trials, the when the unexpected comes up, that we are in his care and protection. We also have Paul Loffman. I'd like Paul to come. Paul has gone through a challenging time over the last several months. He'll tell you about that. So, Paul, if you'll come and share with us.
We often think of blessings as just positive things, but that's not the case. For me, I got a big blessing about 22 months ago, when I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and immediately went through 6 months of chemo. I look at it as a blessing because up until that point, I was in a spiritual slump. Things weren't really bad, but they weren't good either. I really wasn't growing in my Christian life, and I really didn't know what my purpose or my function for me as a Christian was. And I had made it a matter of prayer to the Lord to show me what was going on and to help me with this, and this continued for a better part of a year. Unbeknownst to me, my wife Sherry had also been praying for the same thing. And sometimes you should be careful what you pray for. Well, when I got my diagnosis, it floored me, and to the point where I couldn't drive home. Sherry had to drive. But the next morning at breakfast, the Lord revealed to me that this was probably the answer to that prayer, that He had given me this as my mission, my job, my own particular function, and that He was going to go through this with me every step of the way. I wouldn't be alone, and that He would help me on this journey that I was on. And at that point, it was like a light came on. And from that point to right this day, I've been growing and developing in my walk with the Lord. He's showed me about myself. He's revealed to me about my relationship with Him, with other people. Most of all, He's helped me with Scripture. He's taught me little things here and there. Early on, He gave me James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, which really spoke to me personally because it really defines the journey that I'm on. Mm-hmm. And I really understand now why we should consider it joy, a matter of joy when we have these trials, because it is a blessing. And God is working with us and developing us. And my advice to you, for the trial that you might be going through, if you just can't bring yourself to think of it as a blessing, at least embrace it as an opportunity for the Lord to help you grow and to move you down that road towards maturity. And a secondary blessing I've gotten is I've been in remission for 16 months.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. What a blessing to know that God is at work, even in the challenges there. As Paul shared, James chapter 1, count it pure joy when you face trials. And when you submit to that and understand that, why? Because God is at work to help you grow. And when Paul has shared that God has done a great work in his life, I thought, man, we gotta have Paul share. And we had that opportunity here today. As I was thinking about our ministry, and many of you have same kinds of testimonies through the years, I got to thinking about how this church has impacted so many lives over the years. We were established in 1834 as a church. So we've been here ever since then. Well, not in this building, but we were downtown. But we have a charter member. Not really. He hasn't been here quite that long, but Bob Zimmerman has been a longtime member, and I thought, you know, Bob, would you be willing to give a testimony as to God's faithfulness through your years here at FBC? And he said, absolutely. So, Bob, if you'll come and share with us. And by the way, all of these folks who said they'd give a testimony just said they'd be willing to do it without hesitancy. So, Bob, if you'll come. He's not as old as he looks. I mean,
believe it or not, somebody this morning after the early service said, "You was really born in 1812?"
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Really, my name's Bob Zimmerman. Many of you may know my wife, Arlene. We have been members of First Baptist since 1970. We have two married sons. They both grew up in this church, moved on through college. Now, as I said, are married. Each of them live in different states, so they're not around in our locality, which gives us, Arlene and I, plenty of time to travel around when we you know, when the time permits. But the neat part of this thing was we have two sons, which I enjoyed dearly. Now we have three granddaughters, which for me was, it's going to be a little different. But I tell you, they're great. I love them. Love them to pieces. They love their papa. So, as I said, we have been here since 1970. We both have come to know the Lord here. The boys have grown up here. And even though they live in different states, they too are very active with their families in their churches, Bible-believing churches, which is a real blessing to Arlene and I. Mm-hmm. We have been through many changes here. We've seen a lot of things come, go, people come and go. But one of the things that we, Arlene and I, really appreciate deeply, I mean really deeply, is our life groups. Our life group is a real blessing to us. We have got to know many, many folks in our group, really on a very personal level, which helps us know how to pray for them. What can we help them do, care for them, which is just, to me, a blessing. So I want to thank the church for allowing our life groups. And if you're not involved, golly, get involved. It's a blessing, and I really, really appreciate it. And as both Arlene and I, we, you know, ask for our home and our house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you. Amen.
I'm concerned about the payback now after those comments, but thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. And just exciting to know how God has blessed through the ministry of FBC in Bob and Arlene's lives these many years, and their faithfulness. What a blessing. And life groups over the last few years has been a change for FBC, but there are those who have been involved, gotten involved, have benefited, and as you heard, Bob and Arlene appreciate that. And if you're not connected, get connected through a life group. It's a great way to get to know other folks. Bob, being a longtime member, I thought, well, it would be good to hear the perspective of a new member. And so I'd like to ask Jessica Grice to come and just to share how the Lord has been working in her life as the Lord brought her here to FBC, and she just has some exciting things to share as well.
So Pastor Dale asked me to share my testimony of Thanksgiving because of all of the things that have been happening in my life in the last few months, all of the trials, and just to show how the Lord has worked in my life. He brought me here just a few short months ago, and I can't explain to you why he brought me to FBC, but it was one of the biggest blessings in my life. I have dealt with health issues and with my children, and he has just worked through this blind faith in him to help me to not worry, which is one of the things that I have done better than anything in my whole life. I don't worry anymore because I know that he's going to strengthen me and help me get through all of this and lead and guide my family, and he has blessed me over and over with the health of my daughter and the birth of grandchildren, and I lost my job, and through that trial I was able to learn how to be a better parent, a different parent, be able to be there for my daughter through her illness and be there for my grandchildren when their mom was in the hospital. Now I have a new job, and my daughter is healthy, and my grandchildren are healthy, and it's just, I'm so thankful for all of the ways that he has shown me through faith that I can just do anything through faith in Him.
Amen. Thank you, Jessica. Again, how exciting. How exciting to know that we are His people, the flock under His care. We don't deserve it. It's by His grace that He saves us, that He draws us in to be a sheep in His pasture. And then He promises His watch care over us. The challenge is not to wander, right? In this passage here, in verses 7 and 8, He says, "Today, if you hear His voice." I believe we've heard the voice of God today through His Word. And as these testimonies have been shared, "Today, if you hear His voice," verse 8 says, "do not harden your hearts." You hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts. I'll tell you what. Thankfulness is a prescription for the hardness of heart. If you have a hard heart here today, if you have anger in your heart toward others or toward God, or bitterness, someone described as anger that lingers, God has given the prescription to overcome anger and bitterness in our lives, resentment, and that is the matter of thanksgiving. He says there, by the way, Jessica mentioned the matter of anxiety, that she did that well. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "be anxious for nothing." In other words, don't worry about anything, but rather in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the result is the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Jessica and these others have experienced that as they have thanked God for His work in their lives. It'll change your heart. Thanksgiving is a prescription for the hardness of heart. It prevents the hardness of hearts. Again, Psalm 95. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God." And all God's people said, "Hallelujah." And that was weak. All God's people said, "Hallelujah." Hey, there you go. You're shouting it. And we praise God for His blessings. Heavenly Father, we come before You rejoicing in who You are, Your greatness, and all that You have provided. And it humbles us to think, as we stand before You, that we are Your flock, the people in Your pasture. We are Your people as we've come to You in salvation. And so, God, encourage our hearts, strengthen our hearts, and may we be desirous to go from here with a heart of gratitude to Your glory. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I hope you go from here saying, "Wow, what a wonderful God we have. You know, what a wonderful name." We sang this, what a wonderful name He is. And so, to go from here rejoicing as we focus on the matter of thanksgiving here in the week ahead, and specifically on Thursday, use that as an opportunity. Don't just gather together with your family and just have this big feast, as many of you will. But say, you know what, this is a day of thanks because of who God is and how He's provided and how He's protected and cared for us. Draw hearts unto Him as you have opportunity. There may be someone here this morning who doesn't know the Lord, or you're not certain about that. You have questions about that. I encourage everybody to fill out a communication card. They're in the pew in front of you, or they're on YouVersion or on our website. Just fill that out. And if you would like to give a testimony of thanks, we will record that in our prayer reminder to rejoice with one another. If you have questions about anything we've talked about here today, jot that down. If you're not certain of salvation or you have questions about that, or you would like to say, hey, I want to get saved. I want to know more about that. Jot that down. If it's for pastors only, check for pastors only. We'll get with you. I'll be available after the service. At the end of the service, Jeremy will have a stand and sing. I'll be down front here if you'd like to talk with me, and we'll have someone pray with you. Or after the service, I'll be in the back. But let's rejoice in these things. Thank God. In a moment, we're going to take an offering. What another opportunity to give praise and thanks to God. Offering is an expression of thanks and for all that God has done for you. So please think of that as a generous expression of your praise and thanksgiving to God. So Father, work in our hearts. Help us to, again, go from here rejoicing in all that you've provided. In Jesus' name, amen.